Casablanca.
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 Exotika. Outdoor. Dobrodružství. Vyznáváme svobodný pohyb po planetě a máme respekt k cizím kulturám.
Casablanca.
Casablanca. Casablanca. Autentické zážitky ze všech míst planety každou neděli hodinu před polednem. Casablanca. Cestovatelský a outdoorový magazín v neděli od 11 dopoledne na rádiu Wave.
Casablanca je zase tady, posloucháte cestovatelský a outdoorový magazín Radio Wave, kterým vás provází Pavel Sladký, vítejte. Dneska se budeme věnovat po nějaké době opět evropskému prostoru a aby jsme ho dokázali nahlédnout taky trochu zvenčí, tak jsem pro vás dnešní díl připravil s Markem Bakerem. Hello Mark, welcome Hi. To Casablanca.
Thank you very much.
Marka můžete znát už z jednoho předcházejícího dílu Casablanky, protože to je americký spisovatel, americký žurnalista, expat, který žije v Česku, píše průvodce například značky Lonely Planet, Frommers nebo National Geographic, a to nejenom o České republice, ale o středoevropském prostoru vůbec, třeba taky o Slovinsku, nebo teď aktuálně o Rumunsku. A právě Rumunsko je naše dnešní hlavní téma. Přednedávnem jsme vysílali dva díly s Miloslavem Neverlím, který napsal legendární Karpatské hry, a my na to teď navážeme současným pohledem, současným poznáním Rumunska a budeme se o trochu míň věnovat horám, víc rumunské kultuře, víc rumunským městům a dalším tématům, která právě do Casablanky přináší Mark Baker. Já vám budu většinu jeho anglických odpovědí aspoň v krátkosti do češtiny sumarizovat, tak omluvte případné drobné nedostatky. Let's start with Romania.
Okay.
When did you go for the first time to Romania?
For the first time, I was a student. This was in the 1980s. I went with a group of students at my university in Luxembourg. We took a car drive down there. It was the middle of the famine and during the Ceausescu regime, actually.
What did you know about Romania at the time?
We didn't know anything about Romania at the time, but all of our friends at the university were going to Italy and Greece, and we wanted to do something different, so we chose Romania and Bulgaria at the time.
Mark se podíval do Rumunska poprvé s partou kamarádů už před lety, v době, kdy většina jeho známých jezdila do Itálie nebo do Řecka. Oni chtěli prostě udělat něco trochu jiného, vydat se někam trochu jinam.
It was crazy. We rented a car in Luxembourg. We drove it down through Hungary. We stayed the night in Budapest, and then we drove into Romania, in Transylvania. We were looking for a place to stay. We had no idea about what we were getting into, but everyone told us to bring cigarettes when we went down there, you know, bring cartons of Kent cigarettes. So we did that. And when we first stopped at a campground at a cabana to get a place to stay for the night, they told us there was no place to stay, and then we opened the trunk and we showed them all these Kent cigarettes that we brought, and we had a place to stay immediately.
První dojmy byly dost šílené z Rumunska. Všichni Markovi a jeho přátelům říkali, když se vydávali do Rumunska, ať sebou vezmou spoustu cigaret, že se to bude hodit při rozdávání místním. Dorazili po dlouhé cestě přes Maďarsko, přes střední Evropu z Lucemburku právě do Rumunska a zjistili, že moc netuší, kde by mohli přespat. Ukázalo se, že to je docela problém do té doby, než otevřeli kufr od auta, tam byly spousty kartonů cigaret a najednou ten problém zmizel.
We overpaid for the room, definitely.
You started in Romania in which cities?
That time or when I'm doing my research for the Lonely Planet Guide?
Well, both.
Both actually at the same. I started on the part of Romania that's closest to Western Europe, so the part that was part of Hungary at one time. In this case would be Oradea and Arad, Cluj and Timișoara. Those are the towns. And then work my way into the interior of the country.
Takže Arad, Oradea nebo Cluj, česky postaru Koložvár, to byla ta města, kde Mark začal poznávat Rumunsko. Romanian cities are mostly told to be the worst in Romania, like the sea or the mountains are blessed,
yeah,
and the cities are like damned.
I disagree a little bit. I think that Bucharest, you might be able to make that claim about that. I mean, it's a big city, has a lot of energy, has a lot of activity, but it's not very pretty. It's not even that much fun to walk around in, too many cars, etc. But think about Timișoara or Cluj or Brașov or Sibiu. These are really, really beautiful cities, actually.
Rumunská města bývají často proklínaná, na rozdíl od moře nebo od hor v Rumunsku. Mark do značné míry nesouhlasí, říká, že Bukurešti by se to týkat mohlo. To město je velké, má v sobě spoustu energie, ale hezké opravdu není. Ale když by se vzal třeba Temešvar nebo některá další města, tak tam už je to trochu jinak.
Yeah, it's true.
Timișoara, that's the place where the Romanian Revolution started.
That's correct, yes.
Can you recognize it there on the spot?
You can't recognize it there on the spot, but the church where the first, if you remember the time, it was a Hungarian evangelical preacher who was first disagreeing with the Ceausescu regime, who was trying to tell them, him, what to do with the church. And that was the first more or less act of rebellion. That was about 2 weeks before Ceausescu, or actually less than 2 weeks, 1 week or so before the whole regime fell, before Ceausescu was killed. That church still exists. You can walk to it. You can see it, of course.
Není to tak, že by v Temešváru byly na každém kroku známky toho, že právě v tomhle městě začala rumunská revoluce, která svrhla Ceausescu potažmo celý režim, ale samozřejmě je na místě stále ten kostel, kde to všechno začalo vystoupením tehdejšího faráře evangelického, který začal mluvit proti Ceausescovu režimu. Do tohle kostela se stále můžete zajít podívat, říká Mark Baker. Somehow we in Czech Republic can think that we are still somehow closer to Romania than you as an American expat.
You probably are.
Is there some view at this country that is like offered to you rather than to people from Czech Republic?
You know, it's very interesting because the way that Romania has a problem marketing itself to the rest of the world, I think, a really big problem, because they have an image problem. People associate it with crime, with poverty, you know, with all types of problems, you know, that really stem from the communist regime at Ceausescu. But I think Czechs, much more active, you know, in terms of tourism, they're attracted to things like trekking and mountain climbing and cycling. Romania markets itself to Americans as like land of Dracula, you know, a place to see castles, you know, Bran Castle or Sighișoara or Brașov, that kind of thing. So more culturally oriented toward Americans and more activity oriented toward Czechs, I would say.
Rumunsko má podle Marka rozhodně problém s marketingem, s tím, jak se prezentuje světu, jakou image má, protože je stále spojované buď s bídou nebo se zločinem, s podobnými věcmi. A zatímco třeba na stranu amerických Spojených států se nějakým způsobem prodává nebo v marketingu používá spíš kultura, historická města, jako je třeba Brašov a některá další, tak Čechy láká spíš outdoor, rumunské hory, nějaké cyklistika a takové aktivnější využití času, abych to tak řekl. So that means that this image build it towards US or English speaking visitors is somehow better, or there's more value in it?
I wouldn't necessarily say that, because no. The reason they do that is because they need to find a hook. They need to find a way that people recognize Romania, that it exists as a country and what it has to offer. So they use the most obvious things. And then once they get you there, they try to show you what a beautiful country it really is. And it, you know, of course, it is a beautiful country.
Takže to má fungovat tak, že se zaháčkuje zahraniční turista na něčem, co je jakoby na první dobrou, co se nabízí, Drákula a podobně. A když se ho podaří do země přitáhnout na tyhle věci, které jsou na snadě, tak potom je možnost ukázat Rumunsko jako krásnou zemi, která má spoustu dalších věcí, které může nabídnout. Does it work, this? This principle hooking of
I think it does work in the sense that if you look over the longer term, say from 1990, tourism to Romania is definitely going up now because of the economic problems, you know, in the world, or the economic problems in Europe, or the global recession. Tourism has leveled off a little bit. In fact, it's even going down a little bit, but over the longer term, you know, more people are going to Romania. It is a more popular tourist destination.
V dlouhodobém horizontu to snad funguje, aspoň čísla od roku 1990 by tomu nasvědčovala, protože turismus stále roste v Rumunsku. Teď je to rozhodně do určité míry přibržděno ekonomickou krizí, ale v zásadě by tenhle princip aspoň podle Marka Bakera tedy fungovat měl. You have mentioned cycling as a possible activity in Romania. Have you tried?
Yes, yes. I do my research. Normally, I do my research on bike. I take a car with me, but I take the bike on the car. I find a place to park the car, and then I try to do as much as I can on the bike. You know, that's the plan. So I have cycled around, you know, quite a bit, mostly in the cities, but also some parts of the countryside, sure.
And how was it?
As I told you, it's a mixed bag. It's a beautiful country for mountain biking. It really is. And some parts of the country, particularly in Transylvania, they have some good mountain biking trails, etc. But you always have to watch out for some obstacles like the dogs, for instance, you know. Dogs love bikes. You know, it comes from their old instincts when they were herding sheep or something. Dogs always feel like they have to keep everything in order. If they see a bicyclist around, they definitely try to stop you. They try to scare you. They try to keep you in line. I don't know what they try to do, but I've had a couple of experiences with dogs. Not very pleasant.
Mark do značné míry objevuje Rumunsko na kole, jezdí tam s autem, ale bere kolo sebou a část svého research, jak to správně říct česky, část svého výzkumu nebo sbírání informací možná spíš, dělá na kole, objíždí i po městě, ví, že v Rumunsku je spousta mountainbikeových tras v některých částech, v některých horách, ale zase má cyklistika své určité problémy v Rumunsku a to jsou hlavně psy, kteří milují cyklisty a milují kola, jestli se to tak dá říct.
I don't know if it's milují nebo nevadí, ale you know.
A to pochází z jejich prastarých instinktů, takže když jedete na kole, musíte být připraveni na to, že se vás nějaká smečka ujme, případně se na vás vrhne. Have you experienced some really hard problem with dogs?
Yeah. One time we were in Constanza near the beach. They have, you know, there's a nice resort there, Mamaya, and I was meeting some friends. We had a kind of a grill party on the beach, and it went a little bit late, around midnight. I had to cycle back to my hostel about 10 kilometers away, and, 12:30 or so, I'm coming back. It's completely dark. It's on a busy road, and I run right into a pack of dogs. And, in the end, nothing happened to me, you know, thank God. They just scared the hell out of me, and I never cycled so fast in my life, but, you know, you can see.
I když jde třeba jenom o 10 kilometrů někde u Konstanci na pobřeží nebo nedaleko pobřeží Rumunského Černého moře, tak může jít o perných 10 kilometrů. Mark říká, že nikdy v životě takhle rychle na kole nejel, i když se mu nakonec nic nestalo, tak noční zážitek se smečkou psů určitě nebyl příjemný. Posloucháte Casablanku, cestovatelský a outdoorový magazín na Radio Wave, dneska s Markem Bakerem, se kterým mluvíme o Rumunsku. Právě vzniká aktualizovaná verze průvodce Lonely Planet zaměřená právě na Rumunsko. What's the main task when doing guidebook on Romania or when doing a new edition?
Yeah, guidebook, the main task is to make sure that everything in the old book is up to date. That's the first thing, you know, and then to try to find what's new in each location because, you know, everything is changing all the time. So properties go out of date, restaurants, hotels, etc., hostels, they shut down, new places open up, and you have to try to tap into what travelers are looking for. You know, travelers are always changing somehow, and just to find out what's hot, what's really interesting in a destination.
Does Romania changes faster than Czech Republic, according to you?
Good question. I never thought about that. It was changing really fast. 2008, 2009, because of the economic activity. 2007, that was a period of crazy economic change. New places opening up. And it slowed down a little bit, I think, because of the problems, you know. I'm not sure. I'm going back in the summertime, you know, to do the research for the next edition, so I'll find out then how much has changed.
Hlavním úkolem při vydání průvodce nebo při udělání aktualizace, při aktualizování a při přípravě dalšího nového vydání je samozřejmě objet všechna ta místa, zjistit, co se změnilo, aby všechny informace byly aktuální, zjistit, které podniky zavřely, které nové vznikly a podobně. A na moji otázku, jestli se s ohledem na tohle mění Rumunsko rychleji než Česká republika. Říká Mark, že se nad tím moc nezamýšlel, že to je zajímavá otázka, ale že v letech třeba 2007-2008 v době výrazného ekonomického růstu, překotného růstu v Rumunsku, se Rumunsko určitě vyvíjelo rychleji než Česká republika, ale teď to ekonomická krize přibrzdila. And what's the change in tourist itself. You have noticed that, or you have said previously that the wills of visitors are changing pretty fast.
Yeah, yeah.
So in what sense does it change?
I think that it's becoming more and more popular with the students, with, you know, people who want to go. There's more and more hostels opened up, like in Brasov, in Sibiu, in Sighișoara. You know, they have really great modern hostels now. You can stay pretty cheap, a lot of fun. I see a lot more students going down to Romania, actually, you know, just hanging out.
Co se mění na návštěvnících Rumunska samotných, je, že tam jezdí čím dál tím víc studentů a mladých lidí, vzniká mnohem víc hostlů ve městech, jako je třeba Sibiu nebo Brasov, což jsou historická, velmi pěkná města mimochodem, tak tam se tohle vyvíjí, protože tam přijíždí mladší publikum nebo mladší návštěvníci. Mm-hmm. Do you like Brasov and Sibiu?
I do, yeah, very much actually, both of them. Very, I would say different. I mean, different histories, you know, similar histories, but different places. Brasov is beautiful. It really is. It's kind of Romania's Prague. I hate to use that term, you know, so loosely. And it's, you know, it's not so big and maybe perhaps not so beautiful, but there's something about its quality. It's just a really beautiful town.
Do you have some particular place you would recommend to visit?
Sure. Well, all of this. Well, Brasov is small, so I mean, the whole city is, you know, and just the center of the city is beautiful. And then there's the area around Brasov with these fortified Saxon churches. They're amazing. You know, built in the 12th, 13th, 14th centuries, huge stone churches. Really amazing places.
Brasov je podle Marka rozhodně krásné město, nechtěl by to přirovnávat úplně k Praze, nedělat z toho nějakou rumunskou Prahu, už proto, že to přirovnání může kulhat a Brasov není tak velký, možná ne ani tak krásný jako Praha, ale má krásné malé historické centrum, které celkově se dá říct, že je velmi pěkné a taky je v blízkosti několik saských německých kostelů a chrámů, které jsou ze 14., 15. nebo 16. století a která vlastně souvisí s německým přistěhovalectvím nebo kolonialismem v Rumunsku.
No.
The German influence right. is to be seen also in other cities, right?
Yes, yes, yes. I think the strongest German influence would be in Sibiu, you know, which still has a mayor from is of German extraction now. Is still kind of calls itself Hermannstadt sometimes because that was its German name, and you can really see it in the architecture. You can see it in the history. It was founded by German settlers as far back as the 13th century, brought in by the Hungarian kings to settle the region, and up until the Second World War, they still had a very large German population in Sibiu. Now it's much smaller, but you know the culture still remains.
Nejsilněji je německý vliv cítit ve městě Sibiu, kam maďarský král tehdy, to znamená v nějakém tom 13., 14. století, pozval kolonisty, aby zabydlel a rozběhl tenhle kraj. To město co do architektury i co do současného starosty je stále velmi německé. Ta německá komunita se tam výrazně zmenšila po druhé světové válce, pochopitelně, ale v kultuře a v duchu toho města je stále německý živel velmi, velmi dobře cítit. Have you ever tried hitchhiking in Romania?
Yes, I did, actually. I don't know if I told you that story before, but I was in Maramureș. I had to get to Moldova, Moldavian province in Romania. And I thought that the bus would take me all the way, but in fact, the bus only took me about 40 kilometers and stopped and said, that's the end. So I said, well, how do I get out of here? You know, and they said, well, there's another bus tomorrow. And I said, well, how do I get out of here today? And he's like, hitchhike. So that's what I did. And I traveled about 200 kilometers that day. I got seven or eight rides the whole way, and it kind of worked, but people would only take me 30 kilometers or so and then go to their village and stop and say, well, sorry, I can't go any further, you'll have to get another ride. And it took me 8 hours to go a couple hundred kilometers, but it did work. Yeah.
And have you paid for it, or was it for free?
That's a question everyone asks me, actually. Because people expect the answer to be, of course, you had to pay for it. But you know what? I didn't pay for it one time. I think people were so surprised when they saw me out there, and then I got in the car, and I opened my mouth, and I was an American guy. You know, I think they were completely shocked, actually. And suddenly they had to be maybe on their best behavior, you know, and maybe they're just being nice to me. But no one ever asked me for any money. And even a couple times, of course, you offer as a hitchhiker, you say, well, can I chip in for some gas or something? And they were like, no, just don't worry, you know.
My experience is that if there is a good chat, a good conversation, yeah, there's
no money.
No money. But when you just take a ride with them, then you should pay and it's okay.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Ptal jsem se na Markovy zkušenosti se stopováním v Rumunsku. Jsou například takové, že když jednou stopoval z hor Maramureš, tak začal autobusem, nasedl na autobus, který ho ovšem po nějakých 40 kilometrech vysadil s tím, že dál se prostě nejede, další autobus jede zítra a jestli je nějaká možnost se odsud dnes dostat, tak je to právě stopování. Nastala ta stopovací část cesty, která byla na 7 nebo 8 stopů a vlastně to fungovalo docela dobře, až na to, že většinou ta auta jela kratší vzdálenost, třeba 30-40 kilometrů. A na moji doplňující otázku, jestli za stop platil v Rumunsku, tak říká, že to možná bylo tím, že lidi byli šokovaní tím, že je stopnul Američan, takže v naprosté většině případů neplatil. Já k tomu jenom dodávám, že moje zkušenost je, že když si s řidičem sednete a dobře si s ním popovídáte, tak v Rumunsku většinou neplatíte, nebo aspoň moje zkušenost taková je, když se jenom svezete a necháte se prostě přetransportovat nějaký počet kilometrů, tak potom zaplatíte a je to docela fair takhle, jak to funguje podle mého názoru. Posloucháte cestovatelskou a outdoorovou Casablanku na Radio Wave. Naším dnešním hostem je Mark Baker. Mluvíme o tom, jak poznává Rumunsko a jak taky vzniká Lonely Planet průvodce z jeho pera, protože právě ten se chystá v další nové edici. Přičemž tu předcházející Mark taky psal, respektive je spoluautorem aktuálního Lonely Planetu Rumunsko. Have you been to the Delta of Danube?
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was there during the research period 2 summers ago.
And how was it?
Well, it's a beautiful landscape. It's, you know, it's just all marshes and water, and you know, you some forest, of course, and you just take boats everywhere you go.
It seems to be a place where it's easy to spend much time.
Yes. Well, don't go there unless you have a lot of time, actually, because you can only go to places you can't drive, and there's very limited bus travel there. So every place you want to go, you have to take a boat, and you know it's much slower traveling, and the distances are big in the Danube.
Nejezděte do delty Dunaje v Rumunsku, pokud nemáte dostatek času, radí Mark Baker, právě proto, že doprava je omezená, autobusy jezdí jenom někam a na některá místa se prostě nedostanete jinak než lodí a to trvá, takže nemá smysl jezdit do delty Dunaje, pokud nemáte dostatek času. And what about the people in the delta of Danube?
The people, well, the Danube is cut off a little bit from the rest of the country. You know, you have to cross a ferry just to get to the main city of Tulcea, which is where the delta is. And then the delta itself is only accessible by 3 canals that cut through that go from, say, Tulcea to the Black Sea. And that's how the 3 main canals of the Danube. And along these canals are fishing villages. And, you know, the people who live in these villages, they don't travel very much. Well, maybe they do, but, you know, the life there is still very traditional fishing villages. So, you know, I found the people there very, very friendly, but maybe not so used to seeing people from other countries. I don't know. Hard to generalize.
And is it easy to find a place to stand overnight?
Yeah, it is. Very easy. People take you in their houses. There are hotels and hostels. There are guest houses. There's not much to do, but there's a lot to see. You know, you take the boats, you can do some fishing, there's a little bit of swimming, but it's just a really relaxing and beautiful landscape.
V deltě Dunaje toho jakoby není moc co dělat, ale rozhodně je tam hodně toho co vidět, říká Mark Baker. Je to záležitost toho, jak se dostat z Tulči, z hlavního města oblasti, 3 kanály, které vedou do Černého moře. Po cestě je spousta rybářských vesnic, kde, jak říká, není problém získat místo na přenocování. Je tam spousta hostelů, lidi ochotně ubytovávají návštěvníky i ve vlastních domech a jsou velmi přátelští, aspoň tak to líčí Mark. Mm. What other place in Romania would you pick as a traditional way living place?
A traditional way a living place? I don't think we've talked about Sighișoara yet. I mean, that's a, you know, that's really beautiful. It's not a traditional place in that sense, but the city itself is, you know, it's an old Saxon city like Brasov and like, you know, the other ones we were talking about, like Sibiu. Much smaller and a very beautiful interior core, and they have the citadel, which, you know, which is the center of the city, and the old Saxon architecture is still there. And because it's a smaller city, it retains a little bit more of a village feeling, I think, than the larger cities.
I thought you would mention Maramureș, villages and cities.
Well, we can talk about Maramureș too. You know, that's if you really want to find the, I guess the you know, that traditional way of life that has vanished in Europe, you know, 100, if you want to go back 100 years in time or so, Maramureș is a land of the wooden churches, the big wooden gates on the farmhouses, a farm community, a farm way of life that still exists pretty much undisturbed since the 19th century, lots of horse carts and very, very friendly people, very friendly people.
Když jsem se ptal, jaká místa s zachovalým tradičním způsobem života, aby Mark ještě jmenoval, tak nejdřív zmínil Sighișoaru, město, které je malé, má opět německý původ, podobně jako Brašov nebo Sibiu, ale tím, že je malé, tak si zachovává určitý vesnický ráz nebo vesnický charakter v sobě. A dál jsme se bavili taky o Maramureši, o horském, o pohoří na severu Rumunska, kde se taky dochovalo spousta tradičního. Je to pohoří s dřevěnými kostely, s velkými dřevěnými bránami u statků. Je to místo, kde se život do určité míry zastavil, nebo nechci to přímo říct takhle, ale má ze sebe spoustu toho, co v Evropě zmizelo na řadě míst už třeba před 100 nebo více lety. And Maramureș is also a place of those merry cemeteries,
yes,
right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Right. Maramureș is right on the Ukrainian border, and then right on this little town Sapunsa, that's right on the border. They have this cemetery that was built up in the early part of the 20th century by some crazy guy who lived in that town, basically. And the idea is to make tombstones that are really honest about the person who died there, who is buried there. So if the barber was not a very good at cutting hair, that would be on his tombstone, that he was a nice guy, but not so good at cutting hair, etc., that kind of thing. It was all done in a good way, but the idea itself is kind of funny, to put some sort of honesty onto the tombstone, in a way.
Maramureș je taky místo, kde se nachází veselý hřbitov, věc, kterou zná asi řada českých turistů z oblasti. Je to prostě hřbitov, kde se pokusili aplikovat určitou upřímnost na náhrobky, to znamená, že když je tam pohřbený třeba holič nebo kadeřník, který prostě nebyl příliš dobrý ve stříhání vlasů nebo vousů, tak se to tam napíše a řekne se, že prostě nebyl příliš dobrý, že jinak to byl dobrý člověk, ale v té jeho profesi mu to prostě příliš nešlo.
Yeah.
What are the main differences between these parts of the country, like Maramureș,
right,
Hungarian and Romanian mm-hmm. part of the cities, and the Moldavian part of Romania?
There's a lot of differences, actually, and I wasn't prepared for the differences when I first went, because I just see one country. When you look at the map, you see one country, Romania. But when you actually travel there and get in there, you realize that it's not just one country. It's like three countries, because it's divided by the mountains, it's divided by the rivers, and it's also divided by culture and history. You know, in the west, in Transylvania, is closer to Western Europe, had Hungarian domination for a long time. There are still lots of Hungarians living there, and there's still a kind of, I would say, a closeness to Western Europe that you don't find so much in Moldavia, which still feels more Eastern somehow. I would say that's the main difference, but of course, if you look on the map, they're cut off from each other by mountains, by pretty high mountains, so there wasn't a lot of interaction over the centuries between these two provinces.
Když se podíváte na mapu, vidíte Rumunsko jako jednu zemi uvnitř jedněch hranic. Když ale přijedete do Rumunska, zjistíte, že rozdíly jsou velké. Mark říká, že na to vlastně nebyl příliš připravený ze začátku, ale že ta západní část země, která byla dlouho pod maďarskou správou, kde dosud hodně Maďarů žije, mluví maďarsky, tak je tam víc takového západního pocitu, nebo ta země se víc přiklání k západu, je mu víc otevřená. Kdežto ty části, které jsou za Karpatami, tak tuhle otevřenost do nějaké míry postrádají. A rumunské Moldavsko je potom kapitola ještě sama pro sebe, a to prostě z toho důvodu, že je to země mnohem východnější, je to logické už z toho důvodu, že jednotlivé části země jsou oddělené horami, vysokými horami, takže to, že tam ten kontakt neprobíhal mezi jednotlivými částmi země, je prostě logické. Is there something you do not enjoy in the habits of people in the various parts of Romania?
I find the Romanians really friendly in general. I find the English really good, you know, because I don't speak Romanian. I know some words, of course. It's closer to English in a sense through Latin than even Czech is. So I can read the newspapers a little bit and stuff and understand it better. I think maybe the thing that I, you know, don't like so much necessarily, but you know, you can find it everywhere, is this everybody's trying to get really rich fast, and everybody has big cars now. Romanians love to drive, they love to drive their cars, and you know, I understand that from the standpoint of a developed country, but it's still developing, that everybody wants to, you know, to enjoy the modern life, etc. But such a beautiful country, you have to wonder how long it's going to stay beautiful if everybody's driving around in their cars, etc.
And rubbish.
Yeah, that's true. It goes together, right? Doesn't it? It's kind of like everybody's aspiring to kind of be a modern participant on the planet. That means to consume and to use, which I think is good, but don't yet have the habits of trying to take care of that way of life so that it doesn't make an impact on the natural environment.
Na moji otázku, jestli je něco na rumunské kultuře nebo na současném Rumunsku, a co se Markovi příliš nezamlouvá, odpovídá, že to je touha rychle zbohatnout, že může to být dané tím, že země se stále velmi rychle rozvíjí, takže je přirozené, že jsou tam lidé, kteří hledají tuhle šanci, ale pokud se nebude brát ohled na to, aby ta země zůstala stabilní a krásná tak, jak je, tak právě to, že třeba Rumuni milují auta, hrozně rádi jezdí v autech a v jiné materiální statky, jestli to takhle můžu říct, si velmi užívají, může být určitým rizikem pro tu zemi. A zároveň k tomu patří i odpadky jako věc, se kterou se nakládá nemožná úplně uvážlivě v Rumunsku. Romania is quite famous for its wine. But when you come there, you much easier find beer, which is also okay,
right.
even for Czech visitors who might be spoiled in this way. What do you prefer in Romania?
Yeah, it's funny. I research a lot of countries in Central Europe, and I find that no matter what their traditional beverage is, whether it's vodka or whether it's wine or whether it's something else, just about everybody always seems to drink beer. And you can say the same thing about Romania. You know, they have pretty good beer, and they love Staropramen for some reason. So, nothing wrong with that. But the thing is, Romanians do have very good wine. They have good white wines, and they have good red wines. Excellent ones, actually.
Markův postřeh o celé střední a východní Evropě zní, že cokoliv se říká o tradičních nápojích, vodce, vínu nebo čemkoliv dalším, tak tomuhle regionu vládne pivo a platí to i pro Rumunsko. Ačkoliv tahle země je známá víny a má skutečně excelentní vína, tak když do Rumunska dorazíte, tak mnohem snáz narazíte na pivo, je to mnohem obvyklejší. You have been also to Baia Mare.
Yes,
which
yeah,
is
sure,
a place famous, let's say, due to eco catastrophe, which took place there like 10 years ago?
2000.
Or in year 2000?
2000, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How does this city or this village look like?
Interesting. It's a large city. It's about 200,000 people, so a pretty good-sized city. It's very industrial. It was built up as an industrial city under the communist regime. So you see a lot of factories, factory housing, etc. But it's also in one of the most beautiful parts of the country. It's very close to Maramuresh that we were talking about. In fact, it's kind of the regional capital of Maramuresh. It's okay. You know, we put in one of our guidebooks that that because of this ecological catastrophe, it was with a gold mine. They had a reservoir of water. The dam broke. The chemicals that were in the reservoir then spilled into the river, went through the town, destroyed the drinking water of the city, and then went through the whole country's environmental river system. But the city looks pretty good. It's coming back. I don't know if it's, I think it's fine to drink the water. People in Baiamara told me that they do all the time and there's no problem with it. I recommend going to it. It's a really, it's a nice city and it's a big city and it's comfortable.
Mark by doporučil Baiamare k návštěvě. Je to místo, které v českém zpravodajství bude neodbytně spojené s ekologickou katastrofou, která se tam udála v roce 2000. Je to město založené hlavně z industriálních důvodů, velké město, asi 200 tisícové, kde je spousta fabrik, spousta industriálních zařízení, ale zároveň leží v blízkosti Maramureše nebo na úpatí Maramureše, což je jedna z nejkrásnějších přírodních oblastí Rumunska. To, co se tam stalo v roce 2000, bylo, že se tam těžilo zlato, protrhla se přehrada se spoustou kyanidů a dalších chemických látek, které jsou potřeba k téhle metodě těžení zlata. To všechno ovlivnilo říční systémy v celé oblasti, prohnalo se to městem, nicméně dneska tam lidi normálně vodu ze svých zdrojů pijou, doporučují to i návštěvníkům a Mark říká, že samotný město Baiamare je OK, jak řekl, to znamená, že ho může doporučit k návštěvě.
Ano, ano.
And what about the coast? What about the Black Sea coast? Is it like enough for Western tourists, let's say?
Good question. It's not even enough for Romanian tourists, actually. I don't know if the word even fits there. Many Romanians now tell me, and I believe them, that their coast is too expensive, that the prices are too high for whatever reason. And many of them find that going to Bulgaria is better value and a nicer coast. And maybe they're right. In fact, you know, I think they might be right. But there is one interesting part of the Romanian coast. It's the old city of Vama Vecchia, which I told you about before.
Další moje otázka se týkala pobřeží, jestli je dostatečně vybavené, jestli je dostatečně přitažlivé třeba pro zahraničního turistu, notabene ze západu. Mark říká, že do určité míry není ani pro místní, ani pro Rumuny, kteří rádi jezdí na dovolenou třeba do Bulharska za lepšími cenami a za krásnějším pobřežím. Sami říkají, že z různých důvodů, jim možná neúplně známých, je rumunské pobřeží velmi drahé. Nicméně jedno z měst za návštěvu určitě stojí a to je Vamavare?
Vama Vecchia.
Vama Vecchia.
Yes, means old customs house. Old customs house because it stands on the border between Romania and Bulgaria, traditional border there.
Což je město na hranici mezi Bulharskem a Rumunskem.
Jo, exactly. The thing with this place is, though, it's kind of interesting because it plays a lure in Romanian life somehow, this dream about getting away from it all to the coast, because in the 1980s, and I think even earlier, this was the kind of playground for the University of Cluj, Napaca, and their professors and students to go down there and party. So it has this reputation of being crazy parties, lots of drinking, nude bathing, all this kind of stuff. And Romanians, in a sense, love this sense of freedom. Like, wow, that's a great place to go because you can do anything you want there. It's changing a little bit, though, of course, unfortunately. It's becoming more commercialized. But that's one place on the coast that I would recommend going because there's still, it's still pretty, it's still not that developed, and there still is this kind of sense of anything can happen. It's kind of wild.
Je to místo proslulé svojí svobodou, je to místo, kam jezdili hodně lidi z Klužské univerzity za různými party, za večírky, za nudistickým koupáním, za prostě svobodou tohohle druhu. Samozřejmě se to do určité míry mění a komercionalizuje, nicméně něco z toho si to uchovává a zatím právě, jak Mark říká, se tam vyplatí jet. So that's it.
Okay.
Or is there any crazy Romanian story or experience you would like to add?
Oh, let me think. Well, you know, there have been some crazy Romanian experiences, basically. But, you know, I told you I was traveling as a student in the 1980s, you know, and this was the period when there really was nothing to get in the stores, etc. And we would travel to different places and look around in the stores, and there would be maybe one jar of horse mackerel or a bottle of wine or something like that. But we stayed in some camping ground near Bucharest. And you know, we didn't know what to expect in Bucharest at all. We really didn't. And we were walking, we had a car from Luxembourg, and it had L on the license plate. And this old guy stops us, and he couldn't figure out where L was in Europe, like what country begins with an L. So when we told him Luxembourg, he couldn't believe it. And then we told him we were Americans, and he asked us if we were from Brazil or not. So that was the very first time I've ever asked. I mean, this guy maybe he was deranged, completely different. But these were my first impressions of Romania. You know, really funny, faraway country.
Způsob, jak si pořídit zajímavé první zážitky z Rumunska, je přijet do Rumunska v 80. letech, to znamená ještě za totality, s autem s rumunskou, s lucemburskou poznávací značkou, to znamená s Elkem, takže potom stačí potkat staříka, který netuší, která evropská země by mohla začínat na L, a když mu prozradíte, že to je Lucembursko a vy jste ještě ke všemu Američani, tak samozřejmě nemůže věřit tomu, co se okolo něj děje. A to všecko v době, kdy krámy zejí prázdnotou a třeba to jediné, co tam zrovna můžete dostat, je koňský salám, jediný kus, jediné balení. Mark, thank you for coming to Radio Wave.
Yeah, my pleasure, anytime. I enjoyed it.
Enjoy your research on Romania. We are looking forward for the next Lonely Planet Romania edition.
Super, thank you very much.
Thank you.